The sermon this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 5. I'll start the reading with verse 15. Ephesians chapter 5, starting with verse 15. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Wives, be subject to your own husbands, as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Pray with me. Great and powerful God, help us to come in fear now as we come face to face with your blade. As you have said in your word, all things are naked and laid bare. That is to your word. To you, to whom we must give an account. So help us now as we approach your word. Give us good understanding so that you will be most glorified in our lives as we think about you rightly, as we think about the place of being a wife rightly. Rebuild, Father. Tear down and rebuild. Tear down and heal. And be glorified as wives and families, as marriages are made into what they should be. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, most of us are busy people. You don't have time to waste. If I gathered you together for something that you had no interest in or something that you thought would show have no application for you in your life, you would probably throw it off. You would hate it. You would resent it. You wouldn't want to come around. Now imagine if I assembled you all together and I told you I was going to give you a 2-hour class on pioneering and how to build a tower from scratch. This was one of the things that we did in Scouts. We would get huge poles and we'd actually cut down trees and we'd build towers and we'd lash the poles together with ropes and it was fun and it was exciting. I doubt you'd have much interest. I doubt you'd cut much time out of your day that you would make this a priority to come and learn and build a tower. Well, it might be different if I told you, well, you were going to have to climb that tower. You would have to sit on that tower. Your family would sit on that tower. Your children that you love would sit on that tower. You might respond differently. You see, when we were teaching people to go rappelling, we would teach them knots, and we'd take them to the top of a cliff, and I would untie the rope, and I would hand it to the kid and say, okay, tie your knot to the tree, and then you can go down. When he realized that it was his knot that would be holding him up, he took a very different interest in learning to tie knots. As we consider here, a godly wife and the role of a wife, I can imagine some men just checking out, some young men just checking out, saying this doesn't really apply. But a marriage holds so much together. A marriage holds so much up. The role of a wife in a marriage is huge. It's enormous. And we look at the ways that generations are affected. Women, the ways that your children are affected. Your children's children are affected. Men, the ways that your children are affected. The ways that your children's children are affected. So we look at this, and first and foremost, we see the ways that wives would be applying this teaching. But we also look and see what a husband would be encouraging and supporting. Young ladies, we would look and see what you would aspire to. What God would have you be. Young men, my sons, my younger brothers, you would look and see what you are needing and see what God is calling a woman to. Older women, you look and see what you are to be teaching. Older women, you have the God-given command that you are to teach younger women to love their husbands well, to raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And all of us look and we see what we are to be encouraging, what we are to be affirming and supporting. So, is every young man in here going to go out and apply, wives, submit to your husbands? Yes. Yes. Or older men, are you going to go out and are you going to apply, wives, submit to your husbands? Yes. Because this is the tower. This is the church. You are responsible for one another. You are responsible for what you affirm. You're responsible for what's taught. So hear this word as we all seek to apply this command of Scripture. Wives, be subject to your husbands. Our first step in this is to submit for God. We look at verse 22. Look with me again at Ephesians 5:22. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. Wow, I'm sorry. I can say that to my wife. I am sorry. But Scripture calls upon you to submit to me as if I am Christ. This is a devastating command. Wives, I know most of your husbands. I'm sorry. We're weak. We fall short. We sin every day in thought, word, and deed. And God Himself says to you, you submit to Him. As if he were me. Man, I hope you're hearing this. I hope this is putting an arrow in your heart. Not puffing you up. Not making you prideful. Not making you think that you're something now. Because they're not called to submit to you because you're something. But it's as to the Lord. It's not because you deserve it, men, and you don't. Hear that, wives. You don't submit because they deserve it. But you submit because Christ has told you to. You don't submit because they deserve it, but you submit because Christ deserves it. As we started with our first psalm, as we started with Psalm 136, and we looked at God's chesed, His loving kindness, His covenant faithfulness that endures into everlasting. God makes that the foundation for your submission. And nothing else. But you submit as unto the Lord. Now this is for God's sake. And we look back at Eden and we look and we I imagine most of us shake our heads, or we have at one point in our lives. Look at Adam and Eve falling short. The one command. Just this one thing. Just this one thing. If they just kept that one thing, where would we all be now? How would things have gone? Everything is just one thing. You know? Every command is just this one thing. And every one of these commands, we just blow it. But you are made now. Remade now. Being transformed into the image of Christ. You're not Eve in the garden. Ladies, you're not. Disrespecting your husband and not honoring your husband is that fruit. That's not who you are. It's not who you are. You've been created again. You've been made a new creature. The Spirit of Christ dwells in you. We are to have hearts to submit and to obey Christ Himself. And this is one of the huge ways that this plays out in your life. So much of the rest of your life is tied up to this. As you consider the great relationships in your life, at first is to Christ, and then after that, what is it? It is to your spouse. Here Scripture is unpacking what that is to look like. And as this is to flow from your heart, John 14:23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if anyone loves me. Christ saying, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And he will come to him and make his abode with him. How about that? All of the commands coming together. We're dealing with this specific one. Wives, submit to your husbands. And as always, these commands are about a loving, obedient relationship with Christ. What else do we have? Now, for our next step in this, see this as your part in restoration from the fall. Restoration from the fall. When we talk about the fall, that's what we looked at in Genesis 3. Things were good, things were established, and then things fell apart. You who have worked in the woods, or you who have worked in the garden, and you have dealt with thorns. I remember asking my parents as a child, why are there thorns? Why? Because we've disobeyed. Why is work so hard? Because we have disobeyed. Why does childbirth hurt so much? Because we have disobeyed. But as Christ's promise, as the Father's promise, is going forth into the world, things are being set right. You who trust in Christ, you who have been born again, your heart is being set right. You who are bowing the knee to Christ, your life is being set right. As we look at families and see the turmoil in families, the turmoil between husbands and wives, as we keep this command, everything is being set right. And wives, this is your part in this. This is a huge part for you in this, as the world is being set right. I look outside and I see the green leaves starting to come up, and I rejoice. rejoice in it. I rejoice in the beauty of it. And I think in terms of what God's doing. I think of God waking the trees, waking the green things. One of my children said that as we were on a hike one day in the spring, and there was these few green blades coming up out of the ground. And one of the children said, "Look, God is waking up the green things." I imagine looking at a forest and imagine a leaf, a single leaf, glorifying God the way that it's supposed to. Shining and glistening. And I imagine the tree, every leaf on that tree, shining and glistening, singing to God. And I imagine the forest filled and shining and glistening and glorifying God. You've heard that in the scriptures where it talks about the trees of the fields clapping their hands. I've been in the forest when the wind blows nice and hard and it sounds like applause. And I imagine the trees clapping their hands and praising God. This beauty of heaven and earth glorifying God and praising Him. This is your work in your marriage. This is your work in your marriage. This is our work in what we affirm. This is our work in what we will be looking for. This is our work in what we are aspiring to. Glorifying God. What is that glorifying Him? But it's displaying His immeasurable worth. You glorify God as you display His immeasurable worth. And this is a key relationship on how you do it. This, ladies, is your part in this work. So let's look again at verses 22 and 23. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, He Himself being the Savior of the body. So I'm calling upon you now to respect the position. This is like respecting an office. Again, wives, you don't do this because they deserve it. They don't. But it's the position that God has placed them in. We've all seen this idea, people having a position that demands respect. This idea came home to me one day. This was before I was saved, and I was at a concert. And at this concert, there was a woman sitting down in front of me, and there was an empty seat there. And this jerk comes up, and he starts messing with her. And you could see the situation getting worse, and you could see the woman getting more and more uncomfortable, and she's trying politely to get him to go away. And then she says, "This seat's taken." And he says, "By who?" And she looks back at me and asks, "Isn't this seat taken?" So all I could do is respond, "Yes, that seat is taken." And the jerk's attention went from the young lady to me. And then his buddy comes over. Both of their attention is on me. And I'm trying to diffuse the situation in any way I could, but it didn't look like it was going to go well. And as the one guy who was the primary spokesman is looking me in the eyes and trying to get me to back down or whatever he wanted, I couldn't get it, he reaches behind him. And when he reached behind him, I imagined a gun. And almost everything in me said, "Hit this guy in the throat as hard as you can right now." This is one of the times in my life it was as if God Himself put His hand on me and said, "Don't move." When a man brought his hand around, it wasn't a gun, but a state police badge. He had a position. He had a position. He had authority in that situation. Maybe he deserved chopped in the throat. But he had position and authority that had to be respected or there would be consequences. Husbands are put in this place by God and verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife. Position given by God. Now, thankfully, this puts so much weight on the husband and not on the wives. They bear the guilt and they bear the responsibility for the things that happen in the house and the things that don't happen in the house. But they have this position. I heard one woman speaking on training women to be godly wives, and they said a big part of this is so you'll know how low to duck when God's going to slap your husband for something. Because the burden is His. The weight is His. But His position is God's. So the way this plays out in your marriage is honoring and obeying. How do you honor a husband? How do you honor anyone? I'm sure you've all been in positions in your life where you've talked with someone and you had just felt dishonored afterwards. You're talking to them and you realize that they don't think much of you. They don't think much of your thoughts. You've been in positions where you've been in some level of authority and people haven't listened to you. So we know what dishonor is. We know what disobeying is. But honoring. Honoring a husband. Submitting to a husband. It looks like assigning value to them. Assigning value to them. Scripture talks in terms of respect. Really, this is one of our fundamental needs as men. We need to feel as if we are respected. And wives, it is your role to cause us to feel that way, to demonstrate a respect for the husband. I got to be careful how I use my illustrations and I use my stories because they tie into people's lives. There is so much going on in this country that is about men not being men. Our weaknesses, our cowardices, us just being large children. And we're allowed to be that way. We're even encouraged to be that way. By media, by women, and the things that they give their attention to, the things that they affirm, the things that they show value. But what we're looking for is women who can encourage men to be who they're supposed to be. The leaders that they're supposed to be. My wife and I read a devotional book several evenings a month, several evenings a week. And there was this story of a husband and wife, and the husband was some high-end politician, and they were going through a construction zone. And one of the construction workers called out to the politician's wife and said, "Hey, remember me?" And it turned out it was somebody she used to date. And the husband says, "Huh, aren't you glad you married me? If you'd married him, you'd be married to a construction worker." She said, "Oh, no. If I married him, he would be a politician." So much of what we are, ladies, is what you make us. What you turn us into. The ways that you support us. The ways that you spur us on. The ways that you help us understand our value in Christ. And this comes from honoring and obeying. So consider this. Remember that you're joined together as one body. You're joined together as one body. And if you sin in this area, and not honoring and obeying, if not submitting, you suffer. You suffer too. Your children suffer. And indeed, likely, your children's children will suffer. Now, oftentimes, as we hear sermons and scripture expounded upon, and as it even sounds like I might be doing this, that we obey so that it goes well with us. We obey so that it feels good. We obey so that it works out nice. This brings us to our next step. Your goal is not freedom from pain or results. Wives, you might do everything right. You might submit. You still might be married to a jerk. You might be trampled upon. You may be a doormat. And I'm sorry if this is the case for you. I am truly sorry, and I want you to know, Christ sees your pain, and He grieves. He stoops down. If He would hold you in His arms and give you comfort. But we don't obey because it always works. We don't obey because it always feels good. We simply obey out of love for Christ. Knowing that even in your pain, oftentimes especially in your pain, you are held fast. The worst pains of your life ought to be the sweetest times of your life. When you cling to Christ, not when you run to some idol, not when you cling to bitterness or anger, not when you give yourself to despair, but as you cling to Christ. James 1, 2, and 4 puts it this way. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. This is what your pain's for. Endurance. Faith. You. Complete. Lacking in nothing. And we look at our trials as the opposite of that, don't we? I don't have this, so I am lacking. I don't have this, so I'm less. I don't have this, so God is not looking upon me and smiling. But no, the scripture is saying, you don't have this. God is looking on you and smiling. Find your joy in Him without this. My husband's not what he should be. Does God not love me? No, God does love you. Find your joy in Him despite this, and you will be more filled than if your husband was loving you well. See, this is what it's about. Our worldview needs change so dramatically as we look and think comfort is God's pleasure. Comfort in things, comfort in circumstances. No. No. But comfort through the midst of your pain is completeness. Comfort in pain is walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but we fear no evil because He is with us. Is this about? Just realizing I might be giving a really negative view of marriage here. But there are beautiful moments and light moments as well, of course. But I'm trying to paint for you and display that even in the darkest shadows, there is no license for sin. No license for disobedience. But the command still stands, submit to your husbands. Now, as we did an overview of this last Sabbath evening, this whole idea of submission, there's still this place where we each say no. For our sixth move, do not submit in sin. Yes. Yes, you have a husband. Yes, God has placed him there. But God has not given him authority to command you to sin. Now, as we talked about last Sabbath evening, I warn you, if you're in a position where you would say no to your husband, you risk saying no to Christ. So you must be absolutely certain that what you are being told to do is a command against God before you would say no. You must seek godly counsel. The elderly ladies that you see who have run the race well, who've raised their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. So you would see God's command and see that they are telling you to break it. You would seek counsel from those who have run the race well, who are grounded in the Word, who fear Christ, and you would seek their counsel. And after that, with fear and trepidation, you would say no. They were commanding you to break God's command. And godly counsel told you that this was the case. Now, we do not live in a perfect world. Pretty clear from this sermon. We do not live in a perfect world. And we will find ourselves in environments of sin, even in our own households. I want to point out to you that Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 applies. If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. Wives, you have the responsibility before God to show your husband his sin. The responsibility to show your husband his sin. As we read from Genesis 2:18, then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Wives, you are needed. Needed. Needed to complete us. Needed to help direct us. As we talked about last week, you see things we don't see. You'll know things that we don't know. And we need help and we need direction. And Matthew 18 continues. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so by the mouth of two or three witnesses every fact may be confirmed. Discipline happens even in our own households. Husbands need discipline. They are continuing in a sin. Your submission does not look like you allowing them to continue in sin. You're to love your husband. To allow a husband to continue in sin is hatred. So do we have a complete picture here? Do we have a well-rounded picture here? The husband as head of the wife. The wife's role in supporting the husband and encouraging him and submitting to him, but also completing him. Displaying the blind spots. There have been so many times driving down the road with me driving and my wife in the passenger seat where I go to switch lanes and she says, oh, honey, because she sees the blind spot. Wives, it's your job, your responsibility, your role to see the blind spot. So all of us have application here. All of us have application here. Young men who would be married one day, the wives that you will be looking for, the kind of woman that you will be looking for, young ladies, who you will grow into. Wives, the women you will be, the ways that you will love, the ways that you will glorify Christ. Older women, we need you. We need you. We need you to teach us. We need you to teach our wives. We need you to teach our younger women. because many of us have not seen this. It has not been modeled in many of our homes. We need you, and it is the command of Christ for you to teach younger women to love their husbands well. Now, are you an older woman? Is there anyone younger than you in the church? Yes, you're an older woman. And ladies, seek out older women to teach you. You will learn what this means. And all of us, be careful in what you affirm. Be careful in what you condone. So that Christ will be glorified in this tower. These towers that are our families. Where our children sit. Where our children will be wed. Where our grandchildren sit. Where our grandchildren will be wed. Where the future of the church resides. Pray with me. O God, our God, help us. Help us in our fellowship with you. Help us to glorify you the way that you call us to. Make your word our standard for what it means to be a wife, for what it means and what we will look for in wives, what it means and what we will encourage, so that you will be glorified in our midst, so that your word will go forth. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.